Well, I'm Lee Freese, and you've already met my wife, Joanne. That was her favorite part of the service, when she gets to stand up and everybody see her. We're just thankful to be here this morning to be able to share with you God's Word. We're also thankful that you are part of the support team that the Lord has used to help us to do ministry for 32 years in the Republic of Ireland, and continuing to do that even today, but also now here in the States. We returned a couple years ago to help my wife's mom and dad, as they're in failing health, and her dad has passed on now to be with the Lord, and her mom, we're still taking care of her. So we appreciate your support over the years and encouragement. Sunday school this morning, we got to share a little bit more detail. If you'd like to know some more about what we're doing right now and what we're doing, what's going on in Ireland, why don't you come to lunch? It's on me. I was going to say, we've got a prayer card that's out on the table there. You can pick one up. There's also a sign-up sheet if you'd like to get our email prayer letter. It's usually just a short little thing that we send out quite regularly, and if you'd like to receive that, it would be great. Let's see, what do I want to do now? Well, I guess I want to ask the Lord's blessing as we look at His Word. Father, thank You for Your Word, that it is always faithful and true, and we thank You that we can learn from it, and we can apply it to our lives, Lord, and it will help us to be more like Jesus. And I ask that we might even do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You tell me this will work. Now that's our main passage. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. I'm going to be asking you this morning to travel with me to a few other verses to look at them, because it's going to help us to appreciate this particular passage. But before we read it, I want to ask you some questions. How many of you out here like to take tests or exams? Oh, you do. Oh, we've got one or two there. That's great. They're going to like this. Most of us, that's not the most popular thing that we do in life, is take exams or tests. So I thought this morning I'd give you one, just a little fun exam, see if you're awake. Okay, got a couple questions for you. How long did the Hundred Years' War last? No, wrong. Close, 116 years. But sure, we rounded off, that's all. Okay, which country manufactures the Panama hat? You already see a trend here, don't you? Anybody want to take a wild guess? Probably. Traditionally, it's Ecuador. From what animal do we get catgut? Sorry? Cow? Well, usually sheep and horses. In which month do Russians celebrate the October Revolution? June. At least you're trying. Too bad we didn't have A, B, C, or D. You could pick C and you might be right. November. And the last question is, what was King Edward VII's first name? Who? No, somebody said, I thought I heard somebody say it. Albert. It's Albert. Do you remember they're still selling the Prince Albert cigars? Yeah, well, that was named after him. He had nothing to do with it. Some guy in America liked that name and chose that name and got a picture of him from somebody, and Prince Albert cigars came out. But that was King Edward's first name, was Albert. Okay, so we had a little fun with a test. But a lot of times tests that we take in life are not so much fun. But they're a part of life. You have tests you take, or perhaps we'll call an exam that you get every so often when you go to the doctor. Sometimes it's called an annual exam. I used to get annual exams about every 5 years. because we'd be overseas, and then we'd have to, the mission said you have to get a complete exam every so often, so we would meet the criteria and get our exam. Well, now that we're a little older, it seems like they want us to do an exam all the time. It's all you do is go to the doctor's office and spend time getting exams. But that's an exam we sometimes don't like to take. Perhaps it's a test you have to take for scan or something. Those are tests we don't like to do. There's also other tests that you need to do in order to live life here in America. There's the driver's test. That's always a fun thing, especially for young folks. But we can empathize with you. We spent 26 years living in Ireland, and when we came back, they said, oh, you got to start all over again. So we had to start all over again, get a permit, do the driving classes, do our tests. So that was a test. We didn't enjoy that, but we got through it. There's drug tests. Don't like those. Your company may want you to take them, or the police may ask you to take them. There's polygraph tests. Are you telling the truth? There's sobriety tests. Why were you weaving all over the road? There's entrance exams. If you want to go into a certain career or something like that, sometimes there's an entrance exam that you have to take. Many times you have to take a test for your chosen profession. If you want to be a lawyer, you study and study and study, and you could spend 10 years studying, but if you can't pass the exam, no lawyer. Same with a doctor. You got to pass the exams to become a doctor. Tests and examinations are part of life. They're not necessarily the most fun part of life. They're not something that we look forward to. Well, most of us don't look forward to. We have a couple here that just love them. maybe they can share with us later how that works for them. As the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthian church, and if you know anything about the church there, he wrote two letters. There's probably a third one also that we don't have a copy of. But they had some problems. They had some issues they needed to work on. Yet in both of those letters, in the first letter to Corinthians, he asked them to examine themselves, and he did it in the context of the Lord's table. He said, when you gather to partake of the Lord's table, examine yourself and make sure that you are clean before the Lord, that you've confessed sin, and you've repaired broken relationships, etc. Well, here in 2 Corinthians, as he continues to help them deal with issues that have come up in the church, he concludes this particular letter by asking them once again to examine themselves. He wants them to do that. So we see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it reads thus, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. He was talking about himself and those who were with him. Paul does not want the Christians there in Corinth, and I believe he would want us to the same today, not to think that we're something we're not. Not to think we're something we're not. Well, what does that look like? Well, I think this will help us. Like the goat who wanted more than anything else in the world to be a lion. He thought, you know, if I could do certain things, I could be just like a lion. If I could learn to walk like a lion, strong, powerful, just looking really cool. If I could learn what? Talk like a lion? Yeah, if I could learn to talk like a lion. Roar. If I could learn to wave my tail majestically like a lion. If I could do those things, I could become a lion. And so he worked really hard at them. He practiced walking like a lion. He practiced roaring like a lion as best he could. He practiced waving his majestic tail. And he thought, I'm going to be a lion. That's what I'm going to be. And then he worked really hard on his awesome roar. Finally, he felt he had it all together. I can be like a lion. So he got himself together and he says, now I'm going to do what lions do. And he says, I'm going to go where lions go. So he marched into the lion territory one day about lunchtime. Story ends there. He thought he was a lion. He thought he looked like a lion. He thought he played like a lion, talked like a lion, walked like a lion, wagged his tail like a lion. But he didn't. And he wasn't. And he couldn't, in his case. Well, Paul is telling us that he doesn't want us as Christians to be like that goat, think we're something that we're not. He wants us to examine ourselves and to see where we are in our relationship with Christ. And I know Peter always had a hard time with Paul because he told us that his letters contain some things that are hard to understand. And as I thought about this, where he says, examine yourselves, I have to say, I was thinking, okay, Paul, you could have made this a little clearer. You could have made it a little simpler for us to understand what it was that we're supposed to examine. And wouldn't it have been nice if he'd said, examine yourselves and you'll know if you pass the test because you attend church regularly. Go to church regularly, you're sorted. Or you give money. We just took an offering. So if you give money to the church, you're okay. Or maybe it should do good deeds. You help your neighbors, you rake leaves, you take them some pie, you bake a cake, whatever. You do stuff for your neighbors. You help someone across the street because they seem to be struggling to do that. Well, if I do that, then I must be okay. But Paul doesn't do that. He just says, examine yourselves and see where you are. So as I thought about this, instead he just says, examine yourself. And as I looked at this and I thought about it, and of course you go and you check all the theological brains that are out there and see what they say about this passage. And they couldn't agree. Some said, oh, he's talking about your salvation. He's talking about your once for all justification. Make sure that you are in Christ. And others said, no, what he's talking about is your sanctification. Make sure that you're walking with Christ and that he's part of your everyday life. So as I looked at those, I said, okay, they both have good arguments, and I'm not sure, I could go with either one. But I thought, okay, what would help us? What would help me to know if I'm doing if I'm examining myself properly and if I'm passing the test? How will I know if I've passed the exam? So I've come up with four questions that I think if we can answer these four questions, then we'll know where we are in this exam, and if we've passed it or not. And the first question, did it work? Yeah, I've got to keep checking because I don't have a monitor. First question is, do I believe Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross is enough for me to be right with God? Do I truly believe that his finished work is enough? So I want you to just, if you've got your Bible, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read a couple of verses, which will help us understand this question. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 and following, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Ah. See, I knew there had to be tech somewhere. In order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you believe that? says, do I believe Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross is enough? Because we're told in that passage that it is, because it's God who does it. His finished work is enough because it's God who does that work in us. Second question. Do you believe God's word is sufficient for me to walk with God? Do you believe that what God says in his word is enough to help me walk with God the way I should? And we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16, 17. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. So not just some of it, but all of it. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It shows us the path we should go. It shows us when we're off that path, how to get back onto it, and then how to continue in it. And then it says, so that the man of God, or woman, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So do you believe that the word of God is sufficient? The word of God says it is. It says that it will help you to be the man or woman of God that you need to be in all areas of your life. The third question. Do I believe the Spirit of God's testimony that I am a child of God? There's a couple passages. I'll just read the Romans one quick. It's one verse. The Spirit himself testifies to our spirit that we are God's children. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Jumped ahead of myself there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. We're told that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, was telling them that the Spirit of God, who is witnessing to us and assuring us that we are truly his. Do I believe that the Spirit of God's testimony, that I am a child of God? There's a story of a young boy, or it could have been a young girl. You can never tell by a picture today. Who was flying a kite. And I think they were in Rochester, New York, because it was a cloudy day. And they were flying the kite, and yet you couldn't see the kite. You could just see them standing in the field flying the kite. And a man came along and he asked, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm flying a kite. The man said, I don't see a kite. How do you know that there's a kite still up there? And he turned to him and he said, well, I can feel it. I can feel it when it pulls on my string. It's kind of like that. When the Spirit of God speaks to you, you can feel a little pull. We're going to be going around now, kind of trying to. But you'll feel a pull of the Spirit in your life because he wants to speak to your heart. He will guide you. He will warn you. He will lead you. He will feed you. He will comfort you, and he will teach you the truth. We're told that from Scripture, that he's working in your life if you know Jesus as your Savior. If you've accepted question 1, you've answered that positively. If you've answered question 2 positively, Then question three follows on to it. The Spirit of God is working in your life, and you have a sense of His work in your life. The last question. Okay, we have to wait for a moment. There we go. The last question is, do I desire to walk or live in the Spirit daily? Do I desire to take these things that I've learned, take these promptings of God, and apply them to my life daily? So if you just turn to Galatians chapter 5, and there's a portion of scripture here I think that answers this for us. Do I desire to walk in the Spirit? So it says in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is a portion of scripture that I like the Old King James, because it uses the word walk. Walk in the Spirit. And I like that context. He's saying, do it step by step, moment by moment, as you live your life, walk in the Spirit of God, and allow Him to guide and direct you. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Wow. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if you'll notice that this fruit that the Spirit gives you, it's one fruit. It's not a bunch of fruit. It's one fruit made up of these many parts. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Paul said, examine yourself. See where you are in your relationship with Christ. I think these four questions will help each one of us as we try to examine ourselves, as Paul asked us to see where we are in our relationship with Christ. To help you with that, because I keep this list at home too, I've got it. I've made up some copies of this list of those four questions with those passages, so you can check it out on your own. I think there are four good questions to help us make sure that we've examined ourselves and we've passed the test. We know that we're walking with Christ, we're followers of Christ, we're allowing the Spirit of God to work in our lives, and we're desiring to walk with Him daily. And if we do that, I believe we can pass both examinations that Paul asked the Corinthians to take, in both his first letter and his second letter. And I appreciate he had certain, you could say that Paul found fault, but he also saw great potential in the Corinthian church, because he concludes his letter in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, in verse 11, he says this, dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words, be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. He expected them to examine themselves, to then apply that to their lives and to the lives of those round about them. And he expected that they in turn would be joyful in doing that, that they would encourage one another, they would live together in harmony and peace, and that God, the God of love and peace, would be with them and would encourage them each day. I guess our prayer would be for both yourselves and for us, for my wife and I, that we would do that today. Examine ourselves, make sure where we are in our walk with the Lord, and seek to serve Him and be used by Him both in our local fellowship and in the community round about us, because you've got something to share with them that the world doesn't have. And we will pray that that does happen that way. And we'd love to see you reach out and touch people's lives for Jesus. Thank you for allowing me to share with you this morning. I'm going to close in prayer. Remind you, there's our prayer card is out there. You can sign up for the prayer email. And there's a little sheet which gives you the questions from our message this morning. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Paul was used of you to communicate to the local church the need to examine ourselves, to see where it is we actually are in our walk with you, Lord. And thank you for his challenge to the Corinthian church, and that has been preserved so that we might be challenged today here in Spencerport. And we ask, Lord, that we might be faithful and true in responding to it. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.